All right. I enjoyed that. He needs to sing that on Lord's Supper night. Amen. That's a good one. I enjoy that very much. I was going to have Brother Kirkland sing, but we're just going to let him preach. We're running out of time. And so, knowing my wife ended up having surgery today, so didn't know whether we were going to be here or what was going to go on. So, Brother Kirkland's came in for the Red River Valley Fellowship meeting tomorrow. Y'all pray hard. Going tomorrow to the fellowship meeting. Preachers will be there raising money for Brother Kirkland. Pray we'll raise a bunch. Amen. And looking forward. He's going to give a little report as to some of the blessings that have happened. That praise about, they ought to know about that. That was awesome. And whatever else you want to tell them.
Thank you.
He can preach half decent too, so come on. Next Wednesday night, Lord willing, we'll start the Heroes of the Faith series next Wednesday night.
Thank you. Appreciate it so much. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 2. And while you're doing that, I will say thank you again for the invitation to preach. And Brother Crawford, I'm telling you, has been such a help to me. And I'm going to do all I can to get him up to Cincinnati in the near future. So if y'all let me do that, and I would like to see him. I want him to see it in the infantile stages of our church plant. And I'd like to stand him in front of those people and say, this is a man who's really helped this come to fruition. And so I appreciate his friendship and all they do. Their apartment, their missions apartment at their home has become my second home, you know. And I'm thankful for that. And thank you for praying. I'm guessing the last time I was here was in December. And so we got moved into our home. I think I told you about that. I'm not sure, but it was the least expensive but largest home we looked at out of all the homes. And so we knew the Lord was in that. Our landlords are Christians. And so we're so thankful for that. And we're able to get it all. We're in the final stages of getting all fixed up so we can have company from the community over into our home. So that's a great blessing. And on December the 31st, snuck her in there for the tax rebate. We had a 7-pound, 9-ounce baby girl, Colby Ryan Kirkland. And she's doing really well. Mom's doing well. And actually the girls, they got sick when I left, but they're doing okay. I talked to Karen today. But everything was great. And so thank you for praying for that, for a safe delivery. And we did have a little bit of a scare. 2 weeks after we came home, we were actually at IKEA, and all God's people said, amen. And we were at IKEA. I just got into the vehicle to leave to go home, and Karen, she, you know, with very scared eyes, said, I don't think she's breathing, and talking about our newborn. And so I got into the vehicle and took off, and then we kind of realized the severity of the situation. And I'm telling you this, thank you for praying for us. You don't know what those prayers do and when we need them. So I headed down the highway, you know, like a wild man. And because all I knew was my baby wasn't breathing. So I had to get to the hospital as fast as I could. I went over to the berm and I got off the exit that I knew to. And I mean, I blew the horn. I went over in the other lane. I passed through. I blew through red lights. I did all I could to safely get my child to the hospital. And they got there. And just to tell you what it was, she had a severe reaction to reflux. And so when she refluxed, her body's natural reaction was to close up her throat, which is a good thing because it keeps from fluid getting into her lungs, which could drown her. But then that caused her lips to turn blue and caused her to gasp for air and give us the impression that she was, you know, not breathing. And you can imagine how frightened we were. And so they kept her overnight. And, you know, and a great blessing is, you know, Children's Hospital of Cincinnati is one of the finest children's hospital in the whole country. And we just live miles away from it. And I'm thankful for that. But they watched her overnight and just to be safe, and everything's fine. She hasn't had any episode like that since then. But thank you for praying for us. Because I'm going to tell you this, the devil, if he could, he tried to destroy my family. I know he would. He tried to discourage me, and he tried to whisper in my ear and tell me, what are you doing all this for? God can't even take care of your little girl. But, you know, I just tell the devil he's a liar and tell him where he's headed. And you'll think about that in just a moment, you know. Hello. Every once in a while you need to do that. Just tell the devil where he's headed, you know. And I think that's good. But thank you for praying, because God interceded for us. And we did get word from Cincinnati Public Schools that we can rent one of their facilities, which is a great answer to prayer. we have to get approval from the principal of the individual school that we want. And if we can get this school, we won't have to buy chairs. They have three auditoriums. And so that not only will that save us from buying chairs, but we can buy a little smaller trailer, which will save us money there. And so if we can get that building, it'll be a great blessing. Plenty of parking. And so we got approval from Cincinnati, but we just need approval from that individual school principal. So pray for that. And I guess this is a big, big praise. A week ago now, on Thursday morning, I got a phone call from an individual. He wants to remain anonymous, but he's from a church that we visited on deputation, and I didn't know the man. And for some reason, our ministry struck a chord in his heart, and he said, I want to give towards your ministry. And I said, great, we welcome that. And he said, well, I want to give you $20,000. I said, say that again. The next morning I went to his office and he put in my hand a check for $20,000 to Revive Baptist Church. And so with that and then some other love offerings we received this past month, and with possibly the savings that we'll get from getting into that school, we're only about $7,000 away from having our complete startup from that we've been praying for and hoping for. And I just trust God's going to give. If he's going to give us $20,000, he might as well just give us $7,000 more, And so thank you for praying, And I rest in this assurance that Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so he's building his church. He's keeping his word. And so I'm just going to try to be the most faithful servant that I can be. We're already meeting people. We've had outreach on the street. Here's a great outreach if you want to try. I don't know if it would work in Texas, but in downtown Cincinnati, we bought $300 worth of Dunkin' Donuts and hot chocolate. And we just made big signs that we love this neighborhood and we want to serve you. And we had over 400 contacts because of that. And several people gave us their information. They want to come to church, and even had people call our church phone line inquiring about when our church was going to start. So you can just tell how excited I am, about all that God is doing. And so we've come down to almost crunch time, and I'm just so excited to see what God's going to do. And thank you for your prayers, and we'll keep sending you our prayer letters and keep you updated. I'm amazed at God's goodness. And, he's good if he doesn't give you $20,000. He's good if nobody calls the church line. But it's just extra special, when he comes through and answers our prayer directly. I'm thankful for that. Mark chapter number 2. And I'm looking for a clock. There it is right there. I see the clock. Okay. And I'm guessing we get out of here somewhere around 8:15 usually. I'm hoping, it's at least 8:15, maybe 8 o'clock. He's giving me that it's 8 o'clock look. And so let me get to it. Mark chapter number 2. Look what the Bible says. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto them for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that thou may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray it be true of the Heritage Baptist Church and the Revived Baptist Church and all of God these churches that we network together with and fellowship with that are true to your word. I pray, God, it be said
It's never been done like this before. Lord, we've never seen anything like this. Lord, this is Your working and we glorify You in it. And I pray, Lord, tonight You do what I cannot do. And I pray You speak to the hearts of these good people. I pray in Jesus' name and all God's people said.
Amen.
Amen. Let me give you something real fast. You ready? First of all, notice the people. The Bible says it was noise that He was in the house. Okay? So just kind of help me, give me just 10 minutes here just to set the scene, and then I'll preach the points real fast. Notice this now, that as we come to Mark chapter number 2, this is not all that has happened in the life of ministry of Jesus. You have to look at Matthew, and you have to look at Luke, and you have to look at John. These things don't conflict with each other. They bring harmony to the story of Jesus. And so if you were to read all of those Gospels, you're going to find this. As we come to Mark chapter 2, Jesus has already turned the water into wine. He has already healed a royal officer's son. He's healed a demon-possessed man. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. I wonder how Peter felt about that. Maybe he had mixed emotions. He healed the sick and possessed. After sunset, He caused Peter to catch the multitude of fishes. He healed a leper, and He healed a centurion servant. So you can imagine, after word gets out that this Jesus of Nazareth is doing these things, and He's touching lepers and making them whole, and He's catching multitudes of fishes, and so much that the boats are sinking, and He's healing people, and even He's casting out demon-possessed people. You know revival hits when demons start getting cast out, and so it starts to, just like we have today, and we have our avenues of getting the word out and spreading things around. They had their avenues, and so the ladies would talk to each other at the water well. The men would talk to each other at the carpenter shop and say, "Did you hear about this Jesus? Did you hear about, did you hear about Jacob's cousin? Yeah, he was a leper, but Jesus touched him and now he's whole. It's unbelievable." And so the word began to spread about this Jesus, this miracle worker. And then so somebody leaks it out that Jesus is at somebody's house. And before you know it, all these people start coming to this house and filling it up to get in Jesus' presence. Hey, my friends, I'm telling you, if we really will get a good glimpse of what this place is and what Jesus has done for us, and if we'll lift Him up, the Bible says, "I'll draw all men into myself." And so we see here the people. We see here that these people are gathering together to hear the Word of God. Can I tell you, my friends, that it is amazing that even now, 2,000 years later, people still are filling the house of God. They're still gathering themselves together so that they can see the Son of God on display. So they can see Jesus show up. And so we see these people here. You know, I don't know if it was like the paparazzi or what was going on there, but everybody wanted to be in the house where Jesus was. We see the people. Then we see the preacher. Look what the Bible says. And it says, "It was noised, and he was in the house, and straightway they were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much about the door, and he preached the word unto them." Wow, I mean, what would it have been like to hear Jesus teach and preach in person? We do have some of his sermons recorded, and I try myself to pattern myself after the Lord Jesus Christ. He obviously had to have been the best preacher there ever was, And so I don't know that he shouted like I shout, and I don't know all the, you know, the kind of the antics that, you know, I mean, I know I do a lot of, you know, different stuff, and, you know, I agree with Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln said, "When I hear a man preach, I want him to look as though he was fighting a swarm of bees." That's the kind of preaching that, you know, I like, but anyway, I don't know all that Jesus did. I don't know if he did the hand chops and kicks that some preachers do. But I know he was a storyteller, and I know he took the profound truths of God and brought them down to an earthly level so we can understand them. And so I don't know what Jesus preached on that day. Maybe he said something like, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon ye, for it's easy." He says, "Learn of me." Isn't that awesome? Jesus said, "Learn of me." Not only was he the teacher, but he was the subject. Hello. And so he said, "Learn of me." And I'm telling you, my friends, wow, what would it have been like to hear Jesus preach that day? He is the greatest preacher there ever has been and there ever will be. And to see Jesus and his miraculous power and to see him lift up his voice and proclaim the word of God. I mean, he was was the Word of God, and then he would preach the Word of God. I mean, wow, what a sight that was. And so, no, I mean, it was no unusual thing that these people began to crowd in, and there was so much going on and so many people that you couldn't even walk into the door there that day. And so the people and the preacher, and I want you to notice the palsy. The Bible says, and they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy which was born of four. I want you for a moment, stay with me now, I'm looking at the clock. I want you to think about this palsy man like you've never thought of him before. I want you to put a face to this man. Maybe you can take the face of the homeless person that's on the side of the road as you pass by, as you go to work. Maybe you could take the face of the person in the hospital bed as you walk by their room. You put that face on this palsy man. You know, palsy was a disease that constricted the muscles. Obviously, this man, his legs were affected by this condition because he couldn't walk. I asked myself the question, and I'm not adding to Scripture tonight. I'm just simply placing myself in this story so I can understand exactly what happened that day. You see, this is not a fairy tale. The Bible's not a storybook that we, once upon a time. Listen to me, this really happened. So I want you to think about this palsy man. Who was he? Why is he laying there? How come no one's there to help him? I mean, surely if somebody had a mama or a daddy, their mama and daddy would help him. So I imagine maybe this man's mom and dad had passed away. Maybe he was the only child, and his relatives lived far away, whatever distant relatives he had. And so I don't know what happened. I don't know if he had a friend who would drag him out every day. I'm just taking some truths from the story of blind Bartimaeus, and I learned some things, how their social networks were. I mean, what I mean by that, the way that they took care of the disabled, and what they did with blind Bartimaeus, he just lay at the side of the road. And if you remember the story of the one man who came by the pool, somebody would bring him out every day. And so let's put these truths together. And so maybe somebody brings him out every day, and he just sits by the roadside like blind Bartimaeus did, and he cries out, "Help! Would you help a palsy man? Would you help a cripple? I need something to eat. Can you give me something to eat? I'm hungry. Would you help?" Can you see it now? You're getting the mental picture there of this man who can't do anything on his own, and he's lost everything. And hey, my friends, what if one day the friend got caught up in business, and maybe they got stuck in traffic, and so maybe that some days the guy just lays there and nobody comes to get him, and he lays all night long, and he has to fight off the dogs from him as best as he can. Look at this condition of this man, and if he can't move, that means he can't move to go use the restroom. And so imagine the stench and the filth and all that this man represents, my friends, is what our sins represent. I'm telling you, if we get a good look of this man, we'll get a good look at what our sins does to us. If we get a good look at our sin nature, it is filthy. It is rank. It causes us to have no hope. It causes us to lose everything that is good. And in that condition, we can do nothing. And we can't get to God. Now you kind of jumping in the story with me. You hear, you see this palsy guy now. You see the situation, so we see the palsy. And then the Bible says that he comes to this house, this packed out house where Jesus is, and born of four. The Bible doesn't give us the names of those four men. A gospel song that I like wrongly says that some of the people who could have been carrying that man, they got it wrong because they said they thought Lazarus was one. Well, Lazarus hadn't been dead, and he hadn't been resurrected yet. This is early on in Jesus' ministry. I hate to ruin that song for you, but but they don't give us the name. We don't. I mean, we imagine they were men because we just see them carrying this man being kind of a manly thing. But it could have been a woman. It could have been a mixture. The Bible says it was born of four. And I just asked myself this question here. How did this happen? What motivated these four? I'm going to be honest with you, and once again, I'm not adding to Scripture. I'm just using my sanctified imagination. I mean, I don't think four guys were standing around one day and said, what do you want to do today? Well, how about we take this stinky, filthy guy to Jesus and see what happens?
Yeah.
Is that what you'd like to talk about when you are with your friends? I don't think that's how it happened. Here's what I use my sanctified imagination. This is what I imagine. There was one person. There was one man. And every day he walked to work. And his path on the way to work would cross the path of this palsy man. And every day he'd hear that palsy man. Maybe he called him by name. And maybe he called out to him, sir, sir, would you help me? I'm a cripple. I don't know if that man helped him every day. Maybe some days he did, and maybe some days he didn't. Kind of like we are, come on now. When we pass by the homeless person with the sign on the road, some days we're compassionate and some days we're not so compassionate. Finally, this man, he hears of Jesus and all that Jesus can do. And he decides, if Jesus can heal a leper, if Jesus can heal the sick, if Jesus can do the miraculous, no doubt he can heal this palsy man. So what if I got this guy to Jesus? I wonder if Jesus could do something for him. And so I imagine he comes to this palsy man, and so he tries to figure out how he's going to get him to Jesus. Let's say it's a couple miles away from where he's at to the house where Jesus is at. And he says, I don't know if I'm strong enough to carry him by myself. And remember, he's filthy. He stinks. It's uncomfortable and awkward. He says, maybe I get somebody to help me. And so he goes down to his friend and he says, hey, you know that bum, you know that cripple on the side of the road? Hey, I'm just tired of walking by him. Would you help me get him to Jesus? And maybe he recruits a friend. And so they come back, and can you see him? And one's trying to take one side and one's trying to take the other side. He's already disabled. They don't want to hurt him. And they said, this is not going to work, you know. We need somebody else. And so they go to the next guy and say, man, I need some help. Would you help me? And so this guy comes, and now you've got two on one end and one on the other. That's kind of lopsided, you know. And they say, you know, let's get one other person. Hey, would you help me? And so they get four. Isn't that like the way you like to move furniture? But one person on each corner? Huh, that's the way I like to do it. My daddy always told me, work smarter, not harder. Yeah. And so it's evenly balanced. They got four people. One on each corner of the bed. They have to get down close to him to pick up that corner, and they get a good whiff of his stench. They pick him up and they walk this man to Jesus. But they encounter an obstacle once they get to the house. I see the people, I see the preacher, I see the palsy, but then I see the press. I'm not talking about the news. I'm talking about the press of people. I'm talking about the multitude. And when they, the Bible says, verse 4, when they could, verse number 3, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. Now, if some of us were in this story, we would have stopped right there. The story would have ended, and when they could not come nigh unto him, sorry, we tried our best. Sorry, we did all we could. Sorry, I've already given $50 to mission. I don't believe I can afford a dollar more. I've done all that I could, and I've gone as far as I can go. I hit a roadblock, and I've hit opposition, and this is as far as I'm going. But is that what happened in the story? No. We see here the persistence of these men. Notice the persistence. Here, I want you to notice this. Look what the Bible says. And when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. Okay, the Bible used the word roof. You know where the roof is, right? It's on top of the building. It's up high. There's some risk involved now. Hello, you with me? Who's afraid of heights in this auditorium? I mean, now, not only are they just being uncomfortable and they're tired from carrying this guy and they're smelling him and maybe even some of his dirt is getting on them and they don't have hand sanitizer back in Galilee. And so, but now, they're getting risky. I don't know how you lift a guy up on a roof with four people. It's not easy. Maybe one guy says, you know what? I imagine if there was one guy who would take the lead to be that first one. But he said, I'll get up on the roof and y'all hoist him up to me. And so he grabs the guy. Maybe he puts him on his shoulder. You see, you're willing to go the extra mile to get this guy to Jesus. Notice this. Now, if you just look at the Bible like it's a book, you'll never catch this. But this is the living Word of God. Notice the Bible says, and they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up. You say, what are you saying, Brother Kurt? Here's my question. Who's the homeowner? What if this was your house? What if it was this church? We like to express that Jesus shows up every week, right? That we're coming here to worship Jesus. So just imagine in your brand new auditorium, somebody gets on top of the roof, Brother Wiggins, and you start hearing stuff. And they're breaking up your roof. What would you do? What would you do if it was your home? I imagine somebody, or at least somebody's wife, said, hey, what are you doing? What would the next words be out of their mouth? You're going to pay for that. They didn't have State Farm or American Family. You're going to pay for that. You see the next point? The price. The price. These people were so motivated, they were so persistent in getting this palsy man to Jesus that they said, I am willing, whether I have to pay somebody to do it or whether I have the time to do it myself, whether I have the resources to get it done, I'm willing to inconvenience myself and come out of my own time, come out of my own pocket, come out of my own and pay the price for this roof. We'll see the price. Notice this. I love this. Look at the pardon. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Question, how come Jesus didn't heal his body first? Is that why these four brought the man to Jesus to have his sins forgiven? I don't think they did. I think they were bringing this man to Jesus to heal his body. But why does Jesus address his sin and not his condition? I say because his greatest need was not his disability, but his greatest need was his depravity. Right. I'm telling you, my friend, sometimes we get all up in a roar about sinners sinning. Well, if you are a sinner, guess what you do? You sin. You see, the greatest need of this society is not for somebody to go and clean up this world and feed the poor and give shelter to the homeless and fix the government and fix the, and all those things are needed. But my friends, the greatest need of this world is for everybody to realize that they're a lost sinner on their way to hell and that they need a Savior. That's their greatest need. And so Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven. Notice, after the pardon, there's always a protester. Look what the scribes. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Did you hear that? Reasoning in their hearts. They didn't say it out loud. But look what the Bible says. Reasoning in their hearts. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? My friends, can I tell you first of all that Jesus knows our heart. Jesus knows what we're thinking. Jesus knows exactly what's on the inside, and so He reasons what these guys are thinking in their heart, and they're saying, who can forgive sins but God only? And I say to those scribes, duh! He is God only! Right?
And so Jesus, I love this. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? I noticed Jesus could have just passed it by. They didn't say it out loud. They were just thinking it. But Jesus did address the protesters. Hey, every once in a while, church, I know you don't like this, but every once in a while, the man of God needs to stand up for what's right and tell the critics to be quiet. Here's my question. If you're so critical, what you doing in the front seat for taking up space? If you'd have just stayed outside, maybe the man could have got to Jesus a little easier. Oh, y'all looking at me like, you know, come on. Hey! Oh, so that's harsh preaching. Jesus preached the same way. He says, I wish that you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm, so I want to what? Spew out of my mouth. Hey, I'm telling you, some people are a waste of space in church. Oh. If you're just going to walk in here to see what you can criticize, won't you just give up your seat so somebody else can get into this place and get a hold of Jesus?
Amen.
See, I'm leaving so I can say this. So we see these protesters. And Jesus says, what? Is it easier to say to sick and palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that thou may know that the Son of Man hath, what's the next word? Power. That the Son of Man hath power on this earth, and that he has power to forgive sins. He saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose and took up his bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed. I see the power of God. And my friends, I believe the power of God still is alive and working today. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, greater things you'll do than these. I'm telling you, when you watch a sinner come down to an altar and confess Jesus as Savior, you've witnessed a greater miracle than a palsy man walking. When you watch somebody go into the baptistry waters and follow the Lord in obedience in the believer's baptism and bury and picture him dying on the cross, buried and resurrected, my friends, you're witnessing the greatest miracle of them all. And I'm telling you, if we would just demonstrate Jesus to this world, if we would just let His power flow through us, if we would just let His light through us shine to this world, there'll be people who will be amazed. There'll be people say, wow, I didn't know He could do it for Brother Michael. I didn't know He could do it for Brother Eric. I didn't know what He could do for them. There must be a God. I remember what that guy used to be like. I remember what she used to say. I remember how they used to act. But now she's changed. This must be the act of God. This must be Jesus. He must be real. And the Bible said they were all amazed. They glorified God, saying, it's never been done like this before. But I want you to notice the last thing as I close. We see the people, the preacher, the palsy, the press, the persistence, the price, the pardon, the protesters, the power of God. But I want you to notice this. How did this all happen? How did it all happen? What was the catalyst? Notice this. The partnership. I want you to catch it. Verse number 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Let me slow it down. When Jesus saw their faith. You got that? Plural. Jesus did not look at the sick man and empathize and sympathize and pity this poor man, this palsy man. The Bible didn't even say when he saw his faith. It said collectively. When he saw their faith, who's the there? When Jesus saw their faith, when he saw that they were willing to have compassion, when they saw that they were willing to overcome obstacles, when they saw that they were willing to pay the price, when they saw that they were willing to take some risks, when he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee.
And I'm saying, my friends, I am challenging the Heritage Baptist Church to begin a partnership. A partnership of faith. A partnership where we get together and we say, can we get some people to Jesus? A partnership that says, can we plant some church for Jesus? A partnership that says, can we support some missionaries for Jesus? A partnership that says, can we grow the church for Jesus? A partnership that says, can we just see what Jesus can do if we'll get a sinner to His feet? How can we partner together? We can partner through prayer. Thank you for praying for me.
Amen.
When I was driving down that road, not knowing what was going on in the back seat, I knew all over this country, somebody was lifting my name to Jesus. And it gave me the strength I needed to do what I had to do. I don't know if I told you this story. In my car, I have a 1922 silver dollar. There's a man who gave me that while I was traveling on deputation. You would never know it, but he's a millionaire. He's humble as can be. You would never know it by the way he dresses or what car he drives. He grew up on the streets of Chicago. Notice I said the streets. He was a street kid. Lived a horrible life, and God miraculously saved him. I struck up a friendship not knowing that he was a millionaire. I mean, there are perks, though. And he was interested in what I was doing because I'm going to the inner city and him being from the inner city of Chicago. And so before I left, he said, I collect coins. I said, I want you to have this. And it was a little 1922 silver dollar. It had a hole in it, so I didn't trade it in. You know, I didn't pawn it. I put a little, little chain around it, and I put it and hung it from the rearview mirror of my car. And he says, I want you to know this. Every time you look at this coin, know that there's an old boy in the mountains of West Virginia, and he's praying for you between 6:30 and 7:30 in the morning.
Amen.
And so as I was driving down that road, I was looking at that coin, saying, somebody's praying for me.
Amen.
We can partner together in prayers.
Amen.
But can I say this? Secondly, let's put some feet to our prayers. Let's put some hands to our prayers. Let's put some pocketbook behind our prayers. Let's partner together in participation.
Right.
We could have prayed for this guy all day long, and I think it would have been a good thing. But I think it was a great thing when somebody's prayer, their feet followed their prayers and says, you know what, I'm done praying. Or at least I'm going to pray on the way. And I'm getting this guy to Jesus.
Amen.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, can I ask you this question? Who's the palsy man in your life? It could be the bum you pass. I hate to use that word bum, but you know what I mean. I say that to describe the way we describe. I have a heart for the homeless. I have a heart for the derelict. If it wasn't for the grace of God, my dad'd be that way. My family, we'd be that way if it wasn't for the grace of God. But is it the homeless man you pass on the street? Is it? Who is it? I don't have time to put it in your brain, but who is it? Who's the palsy man? Maybe it's someone you've never seen. Maybe it's somebody you've only heard about. Maybe it's the people of the inner city of Cincinnati. Maybe it's the little children in the Philippines and the little children in Africa. Maybe it's the man in Russia. Maybe it's the man in China. Who is the palsy man tonight? Who's that group or that person or that individual that God has put on your heart? And I ask you this question. What are you doing to get that person to Jesus? You're here on a Wednesday night. I don't think you're a bad person. And if I've given you that impression, I've preached down at you, then please forgive me. Because I personally, this is probably the cream of the crop. But the man who got the man, they had great intentions, they did good things. But if they would have stopped short when they reached the obstacle, the palsy man he wouldn't be walking, but worst of all, he'd be lost in his sins. But they were willing to go the extra mile. They were willing to take a risk. They were willing to pay the price. And that is what was the catalyst when Jesus saw their faith. I wonder if Jesus is looking down now at this church and if He's looking for some faith. If He's looking for some church members to have faith. Faith that God will bless Brother Pugh with a new building. Faith that God will bless Brother Kirk with the church. Faith that God would bless the Heritage Baptist Church to reach these lost souls for Christ. I wonder if He's looking for some faith tonight. And I say, let's partner together in praying, but also in participation. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let me just put it this way, and I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. How many of you say, Brother Kirk, God spoke to my heart tonight, plain and simple. He spoke to my heart, and I just want to raise my hand and just recognize that God spoke to my heart. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for Your Word, and thank You for touching our hearts. I pray now You bless in Jesus' name.